Welcome to the Annie Jennings PR Poker Pro Podcast Series. My name is Annie Jennings, and we are broadcasting live today from the Trump Taj Mahal in Atlantic City, New Jersey. The Taj Mahal is hosting a Play the Authors No Limit Texas Hold'em Tournament. I'm very honored today to have a wonderful poker player with us. John Bukowski is with us today, and he is the author of Blackjack, Play Like the Pros. Welcome, John.
Hi, Annie. How you doing? Thank you.
Wonderful. So how's your day been? So how's the tournament? How's it playing in the Taj Mahal event for authors? Are you having lots of fun?
Yes, actually, lots of fun. It's nice to have an event like this where authors come together and play the general public in a tournament.
Oh, absolutely. I know that it's really exciting. Earlier, before the tournament started, everybody was so excited to get in there, play with their favorite authors. Of course, everyone reads all the books, every word of the books. They memorize the books. And now to get a chance to go up against their favorite authors, it's just an amazing opportunity and just loads and loads of fun. And it's really a great event. I encourage everyone to check out the Play the Authors event. Who knows? Maybe they'll have another one for us soon.
Yes, they happen from time to time.
Do they?
It's a great way to hone your skills.
Oh, absolutely. And it's a little scary, too, don't you think? I mean, I'd be a little nervous playing against you.
No, I'm more of a blackjack player, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the poker pros would probably chop me up in time, but I like to think the skills I use to play professional-level blackjack apply, and they kind of do in some ways, but... Regardless, it's fun, and I did pretty well last year. I was actually kind of into that going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's wonderful. I know there's a lot of blackjack players too. I mean, everybody seems to love the game as well. In fact, you know, every time that I'd go to the casino, the blackjack tables are always packed. And you know, No Limit Texas Hold'em, of course, is having a great run. Let's put it that way. But blackjack is a classic game. People do love it. And I'm very curious. I do have one question for you, and I'm going to remind our listeners that John is the author of Blackjack, Play Like the Pros, a complete guide to blackjack, including card counting, which we're definitely going to get into, how you do it, what you do when you do it. But first of all, why do you think blackjack is beatable, John?
You know what? It's all about the mathematics. It's an interesting game because... the law of independent trials does not apply in many casino games. Once something occurs, the probability of that event occurring again is the same as it was the last roll or last spin of the wheel. But blackjack's interesting. Once a card is dealt, it's placed in the stacker or the discard pile, and that card is not used again until the shuffle. That's a hard physical fact that in many other games, that kind of knowledge doesn't occur. And over time, you use that knowledge to actually gain an advantage.
Okay, well, that's amazing. So it's actually, is it one of the only games that's beatable? I mean, you know, you hear about casinos, there's always that little advantage that they have. What is the advantage of the casino in blackjack?
Blackjack typically, for the regular player, the casinos have... anywhere from a few percentage points down to about a half a percent if the player is playing correct basic strategy. Card counting comes along and actually puts the player over the top so that the player is actually playing at a positive expectation.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means is that the chances of winning outweigh the chances of losing. In essence, you've kind of changed the role of casino and player where the player actually is holding the edge.
Very.
What the casino usually does.
Yeah, definitely. So I can imagine, right, that the casinos, right, aren't that happy to have card counting going on. What do you think?
No. That's kind of the cat and mouse game that occurs. Blackjack players that take money right from the casino's pockets, unlike poker players who either buy into a tournament or...
take money from each other. They take money from each other, right? The poker play, the No Limit.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And what happens after every pot? The house gets a small percentage of every pot. So the house gets money even when the player in seat number six wins a big pot, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
Blackjack, that's not the case. Every player plays against the house. They're not playing against one another, and so the house actually can win or lose money on every, you know, hand dealt to every individual player.
Right. So they don't like card counting. In fact, it's illegal. Is that correct?
No, it's not illegal. That's
interesting.
Misnomer. It's actually, and this gets into what occurs in various jurisdictions. In the state of Nevada, all casinos actually, and a lot of people don't realize this, are actually private clubs that can pick and choose their players. And although hundreds of thousands of people mull through the casinos every day, walking up and down the strip, let's say, they're actually private clubs, and at any point they can refuse to deal to or interact in any way with a particular player. And oftentimes that occurs because they recognize a player as a card count.
You know, I really thank you for clarifying that for us. So
yeah,
they have the right to bar entry based on the fact that they know you as a card counter and that takes away their edge.
That's exactly right. It becomes a private club once they realize they're in jeopardy of playing against someone who can actually beat them.
Well, that's wonderful. I'm about to ask you some differences between blackjack and poker, but before I do that, I'd like to remind our audience that we are listening to a podcast interview with John Bukowski of Blackjack, Play Like the Pros, A Complete Guide to Blackjack, Including Card Counting. So that's a wonderful book, and you can find that. That is published by Lyle Stewart Gambling. And, of course, you can probably find that most likely on Amazon.com, right?
That is correct. It's on many online retailers. But Amazon, of course, is the number one out there, I believe, and it is showing there, as well as in bookstores like Barnes & Noble and Borders and Independent.
So we'll be sure to look for Blackjack, Play Like the Pros, and our author is John Bukowski. And John, now I'd like to ask a question for you. This is the difference between a blackjack and a poker player. How would you describe the difference between a blackjack and a poker player?
Interesting question. Poker players, I think, there's a lot more psychology going on, and it's more of a finesse game, I would say, in terms of being able to read who is an aggressive player and who is not, who's playing scared, what type of history you've had with any particular player during particular hands, let's say, in the past. Whereas blackjack is really, and I'm talking card counting even, it's just brute force. It's bet a lot when you have an advantage and minimally or not at all when you don't. And, of course, you know, there's a lot of mathematics to the blackjack, to the card counting methodology that you have to abide
by. I know. Is it ever too much for your brain to handle? Because don't you have to keep sort of a lot of information going on in there? Right?
Yeah, you got to be, I guess, good at multitasking. It's not something you can do from morning to night. You hear about poker players, you know, playing for 18 hours straight, and you can't count cards for that kind of duration. At least I can't, but
right.
I wouldn't
now,
recommend
it. Is it obvious? Obviously, you're not counting cards on your fingers or keeping logs, right? Obvious logs. Card counting is a mental game. Is that correct?
That is exactly correct.
Mm-hmm.
You actually keep track of, you assign a point value to each card in a standard deck and keep a running track in your head. And then there's some calculations that are required once you keep that running count that, how shall I say, this kind of allows you to get a better read on the content of the remaining cards based on the number of cards which have been dealt to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, that kind of goes over the top of the pre-learned basic strategy, and then that's the whole, you know, play of the hand type of calculation. Of course, there's also the betting calculations, which are actually, you know, how much to bet, and that's part of a grander financial plan. It's not just belly up to the table and bet a lot when you have an advantage. You also have to have a larger financial plan that takes into account your total bankroll and what mathematicians call standard deviation. And not that you have to figure that every hand, but there's some behind the scenes about coming to the table with a typical bankroll or with the correct bankroll.
And of course, there's a lot more information in Blackjack Play Like the Pros, which is John Bukowski's new book that you can get at Amazon and in all the bookstores as well. I'm wondering this, though. Can any average Joe be a winning blackjack player, or do you have to be, a brain scientist, someone from MIT, to be a successful blackjack player and card counter?
Actually, that's MIT will get a lot of airtime due to the movie that's coming out about the MIT blackjack team and Ben Mezrich's New York Times bestseller, Bringing Down the House. But actually, anyone can really learn to count cards. I would say the two things you need to have are discipline and determination. You have to be disciplined, I think, in all forms of gambling, although I don't like to call it exactly gambling, but you have to be disciplined and you have to be determined. You have to really practice and do the calculations correctly and learn the methodology and adhere to, the guidelines of a proficient blackjack card counting method. And really anyone can do it. And of course you have to, you have to play at casinos to do this, and so you have to physically be able to get beatable games. And that's kind of one other little aspect to this too, is you got to find the most opportunistic games to play in, because casinos kind of vary in terms of
I know, there are a lot of nuances.
Yeah, and you don't have to be Einstein to count cards. You just have to be determined and disciplined.
Really? So what kinds of players or personalities learn to count cards? Is there a certain way you can categorize, or somebody would know, hey, you know what, I've got that type of personality, I bet I would be very good at blackjack and card counting. Is there any way you can categorize those who are going to be really good at it?
It's an interesting question. That's a great question. I think if you can multitask, you can make a really good card counter. Again, those players who are disciplined would make good blackjack players as well as good poker players.
And discipline, yeah, what do we mean by discipline?
Discipline meaning learn a methodology and not get, fired up at the table if a bad beat comes along.
Right,
or,
okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot of, you see a lot of that as you walk around casinos. Gamblers, I think, tend to be a little bit more hopeful and that's the right word. Again, you have to be extremely careful not to get caught up in wishing for positive.
Wishing, hoping, feeling like you're on a rush, feeling like you're just getting that particular psychic feeling that the next hand's for you no matter what it is. It happens, right? We all have our lucky charms.
That's right. That's exactly what you have to be careful. And I think
both
poker and blackjack. Today's players, though, I might add, are really more informed than they've ever been before. And I think that's thanks to a game like poker or a game like blackjack, those two specifically, where actually, a little bit of knowledge
goes a long way. And people who play poker and blackjack nowadays, they're very serious players. They know they want to master the game, and they're smart enough to know that you simply master the game through education, knowledge, play, experience, and that scenario over and over again, continually to build your education and learning more and more about what you're doing and looking at your own game, your own flaws, your own talents, and building on your talents, and then trying to work out any leaks in your game. People are very serious about it these days.
Well said. That's exactly right. There's libraries on every game available, and those that are successful tend to have what people progressive, all and any information that comes out.
Well, it sure is lots and lots of fun, and I have a question for you about what is the difference between simple point counts and complex point counts?
The real difference is the ease in mastering one versus the other. In my book, I touch on some of the reasons why you might want to learn a more advanced point count or a simple point count, and a lot of the pros have different opinions on which is better to learn.
Mm-hmm.
There's trade-offs, and difficulty in learning, of course, is one. The actual advantage you obtain over the house varies slightly, with the more advanced ones getting a little higher advantage to the player, which is a good thing. There are trade-offs that the higher point counts generally yield a little bit more of an expectation. So it's something you have to really assess your personality style and your personality style and where your skill set, if you really want to, you know, drive a little deep. And if you're good at multitasking, you go for the most advantageous. If you're if you're a serious player but you don't really interact or don't go to casinos all that often, you know, maybe a little less of a little less complicated methodology might be better for you.
Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. What I'm wondering is, let's say people have decided, I'm gonna tackle this game of blackjack, and I'm gonna be a great player. I am gonna play like the pros. What would you suggest their first step be? The first requirement for becoming a successful card counter. How does one begin?
It's called basic strategy. It's the initial set of rules determined by a combinatorial analysis or computer simulation that determines the absolute best way to play each hand. And then, like I mentioned, I think earlier, card counting comes along over the top of that and actually puts you over the edge, so to speak, and where you can actually obtain an advantage. But
mm-hmm.
basic strategy is the foundation for the
right.
player beginning. Yeah.
Sure, and actually card counting is also a form of awareness. What has happened in the past gives you a clue to what may happen to the future. In the future.
Yeah.
Sure. So you're just keeping track of it as a computer would, you know, or as a brainiac would, but probably a lot of people do it by instinct as well.
Yeah, although that's where you're starting to get a little more into poker, because
mm-hmm.
the instinct in blackjack is a tough kind of notion, because, you know, it's so mathematically based that we tend to kind of get away from instinct and rely
mm-hmm.
purely on the point count.
Totally. Mm-hmm. Well, that's very good to know, and I know that you personally are probably considered one of the world's, you know, leading card counters, right, John? You don't have to be modest here.
Nice of you to say that, but yes.
Well, you know, it's funny because I wonder, have you been barred from playing blackjack in casinos?
Actually, I have been. In Las Vegas, I've been barred from several Las Vegas casinos. It's actually, very honestly, a deficiency in one's game to become barred from play. In my younger years, I was a little more, I think, a little more brash and a little more aggressive
mm-hmm.
than I am now. I like to preserve my, what's called longevity, is the word used by pro-level players, and that's the ability to have a game tomorrow to play in and
mm-hmm.
to eke out, you know, your advantage in. If you become barred in too many casinos, what ultimately ends up happening is you don't have a blackjack game to make money at anymore. So
I know. You know, big question for you, though, is, you know, they're not mind readers. How do they know what's going on in your mind?
You know, it's all about bet spread. And I have a pretty long and extensive chapter about longevity in my book.
It
starts with bet spread. And that's the mathematics kind of falls apart if you can't spread a sufficient amount. And spread meaning, you know, if you're a $25 player, you got to spread at least about 10 to 1 or even more in multiple deck games for the mathematics to kind of hold up. So
mm-hmm.
if you're not spreading 10 to 1, the math kind of falls apart, and you're not gaining that 1.5% edge that you should be able to obtain. So they look for bet spread, and then of course they look for the eyes, and if you follow every card, and that's where camouflage is kind of the next word to describe anything that's used to try to mislead the casino into believing you're not a card counter. But it is bedspread and following the cards that is the dead giveaway of anyone, you know, playing or card counting.
Yeah, and I'm sure the casinos, of course, as you know, they've spent millions and millions of dollars on just sort of putting surveillance in place to, I guess, catch or alert themselves to just this particular type of card counting.
That's right. Surveillance systems are only gaining more and more sophisticated. They're only becoming more and more sophisticated. And is the cat? And that's really, truly the cat and mouse game, to be able to play under their noses as an advantage player or card counter and not get caught. And that kind of relates back to what I mentioned earlier. And I mentioned Las Vegas. I mean, I've been barred by several casinos in Las Vegas. And the interesting thing here in Atlantic City, it's a totally different jurisdiction, and they can't bar players here in Atlantic City, but what they can do is institute several other type of countermeasures, it's called, that don't allow the card counter to actually spread in betting to a level or to a degree that upholds the mathematical edge. So there are other things that casinos that can't bar players do to thwart advantage players.
All right, well, that's wonderful. I want to thank you so much today for giving us this interview. Again, we've been speaking with the incredible John Bukowski of Blackjack, Play Like the Pros, with the subtitle A Complete Guide to Blackjack, Including Card Counting. And I just want to thank John again, and for playing today in the Taj Mahal's sponsored Play the Authors, No Limit Texas Hold'em. I encourage everyone to check those out and go play the authors. Lots of fun to play your favorite author. There's no reason not to. A little nerve-wracking, I've heard some of the players say, but then once you get going, it's really, really tons of fun. So I just want to encourage everyone to enjoy their play, continue learning, continue reading, and of course be back again for another, we're going to have John back again for another interview, and we will be able to share more secrets, right? John's going to reveal some wonderful winning secrets for us in future podcasts. So I encourage everyone to enjoy the podcasts that we do have and look forward to the new ones. John, thanks again for being with us today.
Oh, thank you very much, Annie. It was a pleasure.
My pleasure as well. And again, my name is Annie Jennings, and we are producing the Poker Pro podcast series. Thanks to everyone, and we'll see everyone next time.